This is a podcast from Minute Media.
It would be a wolf spot, eh?
Welcome, everybody. It's Wednesday night, back with another Wolves Fancast preview. It's Little Dan hosting tonight, and tonight I've got with me Gully and Kim. Me and Gully didn't go to the Fancast drinks after the West Ham win on Saturday, and we were a little bit in the doghouse. Kim was obviously there because she's the biggest drinker out of a lot of us.
Clearly.
Guys, that win against West Ham, was it unexpected or was it typical Wolves where we've rose to the occasion in the underdog mindset? Kim.
A bit of both, I think. I think before the game, I was a little bit expectant that I just felt like we were going to put in a performance. However, I'm not sure I expected a win. I think I predicted on the show sort of a 2-2. But I think just the not just the result, which obviously was great, the performance was really good with every single player, I think, playing well. Yeah, as I say, the defenders not really having anything to do in terms of defending their goal. But, you know, the fullback's great. Just the whole team performance. I'm still buzzing and can't wait for Norwich, even though I'm not going.
Gully, you had a GTA out yesterday, I believe. Do you want to give us a brief summary of where we went right on Saturday?
Yeah, I think the key point from the video was what Daniel Pedence offers us that basically Traoré and Trincao don't. And I think it's important the way we kept the ball on Saturday. I mean, I was actually 20 minutes late, so I missed, from what I understand, the worst of it. Long story, but I forgot my tickets at home, turned back, and had to miss a chunk of the game, unfortunately. But from the point that I sat down, I felt like we just dominated the game and possession in particular. And from there, that's where Daniel Pedence comes into his own. He's able to take up really good positions high up the pitch in those half spaces and inside channels that Bruno talks about all the time. And he's just a different kettle of fish to Traoré and Trincao. He's very busy around the box and he makes good decisions. You know, he's not going to take on 2-3 men at a time. But
he's got clever intent, hasn't he?
He does. And he's a tricky little customer. Got that lovely low center of gravity and sharp movement. And yeah, I don't think he's necessarily a player for every game, every day of the week. But when we're going to play like that, when we're going to dominate the ball, very, very useful and helps us to have a little bit more cutting edge in the final third, I think.
How much were you impressed with the pattern play that led with the goal from Raul Jimenez?
It was unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, it was, as Johnny Conceição set us up to, you know, the old cliche of right off the training ground. They clearly worked on it. It won't look good from a West Ham perspective the way we cut through them. But I think if you're able to go from your goalkeeper to the edge of the opposition penalty area without them actually getting anywhere near making a tackle or an interception, clearly you're doing something right in possession of the ball. And that's one thing that is a far cry from the way we set up with Nuno, and Bruno's clearly set us up very nicely in that way.
There has been quite a lot of repeated social media conversation on the atmosphere at Molineux this season. What did you think about it on Saturday, Kim?
I thought it was okay in spells. I don't think it was like back to the old, you know, playing the, you know, really big team and we, you know, the crowd are on it. But I think they stuck with the team and sort of didn't pull us over the line because we never looked in danger, but really got behind the team towards the end of the game, where obviously West Ham were sort of pushing us back and didn't create anything in the end. So we looked pretty solid, but I think the crowd didn't get on their backs like they have done in the past when we're sort of, we are dropping deeper. Yeah, I think, to be honest, I don't get the whole the South Bank never sing. Well, to be honest, I didn't hear any of the other stands making a lot of noise. And if the South Bank don't start a song, then I don't hear a lot. So
do you know what? Going back to the point that I was 20 minutes late, when I was running down Waterloo Road, the only sign that there was a game on was that the road was closed with the barriers shut. It sounded dead, genuinely, as I was approaching the stadium. And to think that the game was actually being played at that point was a bit like, well, clearly the game's not doing much for people, or people are just up for it, just aren't up for it or whatever. But then, like you say, I think second half, once we started coming out and we had that flurry of chances where like Pedence pulled a save out of Fabianski, there's a couple of shots he had, wasn't there? And then we scored the goal. I think the crowd reacted a little bit to what was on the pitch. And I think that's always going to be the case. You know, if there are quiet patterns of play within the game, the crowd aren't necessarily going to be jumping up and down off their seats, are they?
And let's be honest, although West Ham are like third in the league, they're not your traditional top six team. So it's never going to be the same sort of atmosphere as when we play your Uniteds, your Cities, your Liverpools. That's just the way it's always going to be. So I think, as you say, Gully, that like with the crowd almost grew into the game as the team did. So I'm not going to say that we need to do better, but, you know, I thought it was fine in terms of the performance. That kind of reflected the atmosphere. It was okay. It's been better. It's been worse. So
apart from the sort of first 10-minute period where we were a bit under siege, obviously Jared Bowen had that one header, and he had a chance in the second half, which he ballooned over. Jose Sarr was literally never really troubled, was he?
Not from what I can recall. I think, yeah, like you say, was there actually a real shot that he had to save? I think there was like a curler from distance that Declan Rice had, which kind of just landed in his arms. I mean, the most significant thing that he did within the game was probably that long kick out to Pedence, which was unbelievable. Played it right into his path in the first half. I do think his proactiveness off his line and things helps with that. He will come for stuff. You know, if there's a cross coming into the box, there is a chance that he might come out and punch it away or claim it. So, you know, he's probably snuffing things out a little earlier than Patricio would have done previously.
He did launch another one upfield, which Podence nearly got the better of Zuma, but I think Podence could have got Zuma sent off if he'd had a bit more bottle knocking it past him, because I think Zuma was sort of stuck in the mud at one point. What did you think to our defence marshalling Mikel Antonio the other day? Obviously, he had his 100 grand chartered flight from Kingston, Jamaica to Kilman's back pocket. There was a lot of fear going into the game that Cody was going to get walked through. I think the one comment I read, but he was non-existent in the wrong areas of the pitch, wasn't he?
I think all three centre-backs literally didn't have anything of note to do the whole game. And I think I was particularly worried about the Cody versus Antonio sort of battle. But it wasn't a battle in the end, because I think I've just rewatched the highlights just to make sure that I didn't miss anything. And Antonio, I think, had a couple of chances towards the end, not even chances actually, where he got the ball and ballooned it over the bar with one of them, and he set up Bowen, I think, who put it past the post for the other one. But other than that, like, I literally do not remember him being involved, which is quite surprising given his stature and the fact that Cody tends to struggle against those type of strikers. So as I say, I can't fault any of the back three. I thought they played well. They pulled the ball out, took it out nicely. Obviously, Kilman, as always, did. And I think, yes, as I say, they weren't exactly tested, and it was more about how well the fullbacks could do in an attacking sense, I think.
What did you make to Hwang's performance again, Gully? Obviously, he's got a good goal-scoring record, but he does drift in and out of games, doesn't he?
Yeah, again, I think the potential of him scoring a goal is probably the reason why he's in the team, rather than the way that he's going to be involved in the game from minute zero to minute 90. I think the most I've seen him really grab hold of a fixture is probably the Everton first half, where he was involved in pretty much everything good that we did. I mean, even the Newcastle game, when he scored two goals, I wouldn't say he was, you know, a constant threat to their back line. Yeah, two good moments and that was it, really. But I just think he works well within the structure. I think Bruno likes the way he presses. He's got that good energy and he's able to attack space well. I do think he struggles when he's confronted by a defender, but when he's got open space in front of him, I think he's a useful player to have. And like you say, we still need that goal threat, and Traore and Trincao, if you're looking at that the other options there, they haven't done enough to provide that so far this season.
I think everyone was very much more than happy with that 3 points against West Ham on Saturday, leaving us six in the league after quite a few results went our way. This Saturday, 3 p.m, Wolves travel west to east to play Norwich. A few players who played for both teams: Matt Jarvis, who we had on last week, John Ruddy, Ryan Bennett, Grant Hull, Andrew Sermon, Neil Emblen, Ewan Roberts, missing those front two teeth, and a former player called Mark Edworthy, who was a bit of a non-existent player in our playoff promotion season. Any players there that sort of, any decent memories you can remember out that group there?
It's got to be Ryan Bennett, hasn't it? Come on. I mean, that, just thinking, who's it against? Chelsea, that tackle against Chelsea. That's all I think of when I think of Ryan Bennett.
Is that Ryan Bennett's real legacy, or is it something to do with Diogo Jota?
Oh.
Or the header against Bristol City, Gully.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sorry. Yeah. That was the real Bennett moment. That was a real Bennett moment. A mixed bag of ex-players there, wasn't there? Some not so fondly remembered. Andrew Sermon, I always thought was a really good signing when we brought him in, but he did next to nothing. And Grant Holt, the old favourite.
I mean, Grant Holt in that picture, biting his nails, pretty much sums up his career at Wolves, doesn't it? I can't remember him playing any minutes for Wolves. I know, like, there was one game, did he come on at Bristol City for, like, Benicophobia or something?
Half time or something, wasn't it, I think?
I can't remember him playing for Wolves, so he must have been bad. But was he at the same time as Yannick Sagbo?
Are you suggesting that... No, it's the season after. We had Lafondra at the same time, I think. Are you suggesting that you couldn't find a photo of him in a Wolves shirt on the pitch?
Oh, no. There was a couple of photos where they had, like, the copyright images across it, but I just thought I'd pick the one where he's chewing his nails because I felt that was more out of his time at
Wolves. I still couldn't picture him in a home shirt or an away shirt actually on grass.
He's made four appearances, apparently, according to a source.
They never happened. That's one for Luke and Stu's conspiracy club.
The Mandela effect.
Yeah. It's real, guys. It's real.
I think Grant Holt might have played in that 1-0 win at Blues when Dave Edwards scored and we had, like, Kushak in goal and we were just a terrible side. I think Jackie had lost all his best players at that point. Anyway, Saturday, we've got Norwich away. We've only played Norwich four times in the Premier League, which I thought was odd when I was doing a bit of research, because we seem to have played them 100 times, but we've only played them four times in the Premier League. As I said, so we've played them four times. We've won two, lost one, and drawn one. Last season when they was in the Premier League, we won. That was our two wins. So we had the 2-1 win at Carrow Road, which Todd Cantwell put them in front, and then an equaliser from Sage, followed by a late winner from Raul Jimenez, which after the game left us six in the league after 18 games. If my memory is correct, Raul didn't have one of his better games that day, but still managed to score the winner, which was quite apt with where we were in the league. So I don't think that was a season.
If I remember rightly, we didn't even deserve to win that game at all.
We got out of the first half.
We should have been put to bed at half time. It was Bwendi and Pukki. Totally tore us apart, but Pukki never seemed to put his chances away. And yeah, it was a typical second half Nuno show, wasn't it? Pulling it back and turning up for 45 minutes.
I don't know whether you can clearly see the league table on that image that I just shown, but after 18 games, we were six on 27 points. And I think that was the season where we didn't win until, like, our seventh game at home to Watford.
Yeah, it was the Europa League season, wasn't it?
So I mean, like 11 games later, he was sixth in the league. We had a good turnaround there by the looks of it.
Yeah, it was a good run. It was a good run. You can see, obviously, Sheffield United in there. I think that's where your memories start to go back to COVID football and that defeat, the 1-0 at Bramall Lane, and what could have been that season. You know, it was still a chance of us finishing the top six, wasn't there? Or even top four.
So here's a question, though. After 18 games this season, are we still going to be in the top six?
That's a good question. It's a good. What do you reckon, Gully? I don't know how to answer that, to be honest, without being...
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because earlier today, I done one of those, you know, those Premier League productions that go out to every country apart from the UK, I think. We don't really see them here. And the guy on there basically said to me, you've had a kind run of fixtures, haven't you? And that's why you're basically doing well at the moment.
And but yeah, but on the back extent, of the first three fixtures.
Yeah, but we played well in those games. Like, bottom line, it really doesn't wash for me that, you know, we were 3-0 after those games, basically. And, you know, didn't have a point on the board because the performances didn't tell us that we were going to be in trouble. Well,
theoretically, we should be higher because of our performances. And
I reckon there's 5 points in those games.
Right, that if you take off the first three games, we'd be second now. So if you forget the first three games happened for all of the teams, on our current form, the rest of the games, we'd be second.
If I was bald and if I had hair and I was tall, I'd be a Hollywood superstar.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's that? Just going over the tangent. What's that? Like army saying SAS. What does SAS stand for? You've got to go with this. You've got to go with it. What's SAS stand for?
I don't know. Do you know?
SOS is Save Our Souls. But what's SAS?
I have no idea.
I'll tell you what it is. It's Smith and Shakespeare for Norwich, who took over last week and got the 2-1 win onto Norwich. That's who it is. It's Smith and Shakespeare. Yeah.
Certainly, Shearer was always SAS, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So you look at some of the stats there. Southampton had 63% possession in the 2-1 defeat to Norwich away last week. I don't know if either of you saw the goals that Alex McCarthy conceded.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Alex McCarthy.
Honestly.
It don't tell us a lot, does it? I think they were just really poor last week, Southampton. I don't think Norwich.
Even it was probably a bit like, you know, first half, apparently Southampton absolutely battered him as well. And then second half, whatever. I just don't see Dean Smith as a good Premier League manager, though, to be honest. I don't know what he did at Villa that says to Norwich, you know what, you're the man for us.
They survived. He got Villa to stay up in the Premier League on the back of a VAR mishap.
Yeah.
Basically. I think it was a cheap option. I think they probably tried the hand at Frank Lampard, didn't they? And when Lampard said no and Smith became available, it seemed to just go hand in hand. He's got a track record for getting teams out the Premier League. So, I don't know. They've got nothing to lose, really, have they, at the moment? Newcastle, Norwich, they're pretty much down. But two wins on the bounce now and Wolves at home next. Can Smith get his revenge over Bruno? Or, in my opinion, have we got too much for them?
I think we've got too much. Come on. We've just beat West Ham. We've just beat West Ham and we're on a good run and we're coming to the end of those good fixtures. So I really like to think we'd win this and Burnley and then we can just like chill out because doesn't really matter, does it, when we play Man City, Liverpool's free hit.
I don't know if it's just the company that we keep, but I think that's the first time I've heard another fan casting say, yeah, we're going to win, kind of just confidently, like, I haven't heard that for a while from us. Maybe it's because of last season, just grinding us down, and us trying to temper our expectations this year. But you do feel confident going into this game, don't you?
Saying that, there's a good chance that we'll lose still.
This is why we're the most popular fan base in the world.
I wouldn't be surprised, but there is a little bit of an expectation that we should be able to turn them over with how we've been playing. Not just the results, but we have, you know, we've been playing well.
I made the comment before in regards to, is our squad one of those squads where when they know they're going to be in for a game, they turn up, and games like these, to be honest, we never really had a bad record against the bottom half teams under Nuno, did we? We seem to like pick up points quite regularly with Nuno against the bottom half teams, but I think there's been games in the past where we've we've expected to turn up and win the game comfortably, and we've slipped to a, you know, your Newcastle games, yeah, and your...
I think the problem we've got at the moment is we've just not been that great away from home performance wise. I know we've picked up a couple of wins, likes of Southampton away, Villa away, but in neither of those games could you say we played well. So that's going to be the starting point, really, to make sure we replicate our home form on the road.
And you'd hope that we wouldn't sit back like we have done against Leeds, Villa. Like, we've been too defensive. Like, you can't be defensive against Norwich. Got to go out on the front foot. If we play like we did against Norwich, I just can't see anything but other than a win. The however bit that I mentioned earlier is because we don't 100% know that Wolves is going to turn up that we've been seeing at home.
I did make the comments. I wasn't trying to be disparaging to Norwich, but you look at sort of the lineups from the last game, if you tilt your heads, you look at sort of Max Aaron's the right back, but you look at those two centre-backs, Grant Hanley and Ben Gibson. Obviously, they've got Timo Pukki up front too, who has got a decent record in the Premier League for a relegated side. Tom Cantwell came off at half-time last week because not really been match fit, because I don't think he's featured much for Farke last season. But like I said, without trying to be disparaging to Norwich, we should have too much for him, shouldn't we?
Especially in centre midfield.
Yeah.
Like I said against West Ham, Neves and Moutinho should be able to control the game against Suchek and Rice. And I think a few eyebrows were raised when I said that. But I think it's the same here. Well, not. I think it's even more so. You know, Norman, who is meant to be a decent player, actually.
I really like Norman. Oh, I think he's a really good player. He's been keeping the team, really.
We should still have too much in centre midfield. If we want to control the game, we should be able to.
I mean, you mentioned Norman there. Obviously, Billy Gilmore's got a decent reputation coming from Chelsea. But you look at sort of the fullbacks. I think that's going to be a key area where this match is won on Saturday. Is that Brandon Williams from Manchester United as well?
Yeah, he's a decent player as well. Max Aaron's, I think, before we signed Semedo, I'd have suggested we were all over him to try and replace Doherty, but clearly that wasn't going to happen. But
do you think he's similar to Lamptey at Brighton?
I think he's a bit better on the ball. Lamptey's quicker, but I think Aaron's has got a bit more quality about him.
Is there anyone in our starting 11 from last week you'd consider changing?
You can't
change a winning team, especially on the back of that performance, can you?
Going back to the point, though, that third striking slot just feels like you should tailor it to the team that you're playing as well. And I don't know if an away game against Norwich is a Daniel Pedence kind of game either.
I was thinking at the physicality of like Grant Hanley and Ben Gibson, but you've looked at the sort of the games that Adama's played against Norwich in the past. And I think Adama came on in that 2-1 win and pretty much changed the game, if I'm correct.
I think it was Neto that came on.
I could have sworn Adama came on late as well that day. I'll have to have a look back. And what's your score predictions come Saturday? I'll start with you, Kim.
I'll go 3-1 Wolves.
Optimistic, considering... Obviously, you predicted 2-2 against West Ham, didn't you?
I did.
What about you, Gully? 3-1 to Kim. I mean, Kim's gone for 3-1, Gully. I mean,
I don't see it scoring 3 at the moment, to be honest. I just don't see it scoring that many goals, but I do see us keeping a clean sheet, so I'm going to go for 2-0.
2-0. Oh, God, I don't want to...
Come on, Dan. You can't make this a negative.
Well,
I know, that's what I mean, but I think I'm going to go even more. I think I'm going to go 4-0. Fucking hell. I predicted 4-0 against Brentford as well, didn't
you
I?
You did. Fucked it.
Oh, sorry, guys.
He's it's only on going
me.
One way
it's
now,
on
isn't it?
It's on me. Sorry. I'm going to go 2-0 Wolves, but I think Norwich will have a player sent off. I just think Dean Smith's going to come unstuck Saturday. Obviously, Norwich have had two wins on the bench, one with Farker and one with Dean Smith. But, you know, looking at them team lineups, I just think we've got too much for Manny. But so... I'll say a sensible 2-0, but 4-0 Saturday. Should we have a quick quiz to end the show before we call it a night?
My favourite moment of the stream.
Is it a head-to-head?
It's, I'll say head-to-head, but let's just see how many you can get between the two of them, and then off air. You can take the mick out of the other, whoever wins. Right. So the first question, 20 years ago today. So how old were you today, Gully, 20 years ago?
It'd be nine.
9 years old. Kim, you were 20.
Hilarious. 10.
20 years ago today, Wolves ran out 1-0 winners away at Wimbledon. Who scored the winner that day for Wolves?
I think I know this one.
I'll come to you then first, Kim, because you were, slightly older than Gully, so you should remember on paper.
We'll go Steve Ball.
Oh, Kim, that's a terrible answer. That's a terrible answer, Kim.
Dean Sturridge, isn't it, I think.
On loan.
Dino. Was that his first goal?
I think it was. There was a.
I didn't go to Wolves games then, in my defence.
I know, but you've got to remember when Steve Ball retired.
He just didn't play in the 2000s, did he, at all for us?
Who? Bully?
He didn't play beyond 99, did he, I think?
Yeah, it was like 99 pre-season, was it? Something like that.
That's only a year late.
For future reference, anything 2000 and beyond is no Steve.
Yeah, the correct answer was Dean Sturridge. If for the people who remember correctly out there, the Wimbledon keeper collected the ball on a back pass and we just had a bit of a crap effort to try and score. And Dean Sturridge scores one of the most feeble powered shots you'll ever see at the front post. It's on YouTube somewhere. I think all the Wolves season reviews are on YouTube now from various channels. This one is a tough question. Who scored more league goals in the career, Ewan Roberts or Grant Holt? And I'll tell you now, there's 6 league goals in between it.
Bloody hell. Okay. I would say Grant Holt had a really good record, like League One and League Two, before he made it to Norwich. So I'm going to go Grant Holt.
Grant Holt was still playing football for Barrow in 2010.
Was he?
So, what's your guess, Kim? Ewan Roberts or Grant Holt, who scored the most league goals?
Do you mean 2020? Because he hadn't even played for us in 2010.
Sorry, 2020. He was still playing for Barrow.
Go on then, we'll go Grant Holt as well.
Correct answer was Grant Holt.
200 between it though.
208 league goals. Grant Holt got, Ewan Roberts got 202. This one's Norwich theme question. Let's Be Avenue. Where Are You? Come On. Dear listeners, iconic rant. Who were Norwich playing that day when she went into that massive rant on the pitch? Come on.
Was it Liverpool?
Kim's going Liverpool, Gully. Let's Be Avenue. Let's Be Avenue.
It was a top team, I'm sure. It was in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's on telly as well.
It's on Sky. Half time on Sky. She's had a few sherries. She walks onto the pitch in her high heels. The mud gets getting stuck on the heel. And then she gets the microphone. And Gully says, Norwich were playing.
West Ham.
The correct answer was Manchester City.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think it was like pre-Manchester City, big money area. If my memory is correct, I think like someone like Antoine Sibierski scored for Norwich that night. The next question is, I think I like this little introduction that I've put into the quiz now. It's the, you've got to name the goal scorer and it's just an audio snippet. So I'm going to play the audio snippet now.
Wins down that left leg. He's got a run on goal. Two! Oh, what a strike! For the goal that and Jack Hayward on his feet, and no wonder. It was a blistering drive. That's the very best of.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Good play. That's pretty wonderful. When the ball cleared out, Jimmy, his time to run at the defender, he comes inside. Who says he hasn't got a right foot? What a strike. What a goal.
He said he hasn't got a right foot. That's a big clue at the end. Yeah.
That's a massive clue. I left that in just because I thought I'd give some of the listeners a chance.
Did they mention Anton Deck in that clip?
Anton Deck?
I swear I heard Anton Deck.
You've got I'm a Celebrity on your mind.
They weren't even that famous then, back then, I don't think, were they?
I'll let Gully answer because I haven't got a clue.
It's the bar. It hits a bar and goes in. I think you hear the noise when it hits a bar. It's Mark Kennedy at Warsaw, wasn't it?
You want to have a shot in the dark, Kim?
No.
The correct answer was Mark Kennedy, that absolute rocket of a right foot in off the bar. It was that clue at the end, wasn't it, Gully, that gave it you?
Yeah, it was a great goal, though.
And obviously, we had Matt Jarvis on last week's episode, and obviously, Matt Jarvis played for Norwich as well. It's another, who's Matt Jarvis scoring against audio?
By Basso, straight to Keighley. And this is Jarvis, and that's 2-0. And again, the goalkeeper is culpable. Jarvis clearly onside. And a neat finish.
Ooh, not as easy as last week's one, but...
I mean, it's either Burnley or Forest.
I heard the keeper's name at the start, and I think that was a clue.
Oh, if you heard the keeper's name at the start, then that was a massive clue.
Say it again. I didn't hear that.
I'll give it you one more time, Kim. I'm playing it one more time, obviously, for the listeners at home. Keeper, listen out for the keeper's name right at the start.
Basso, straight to Keighley. And this is Jarvis, and that's 2-0. And again, the goalkeeper is culpable. Jarvis clearly onside. And a neat finish.
I didn't hear it. I think, was it Basso or someone?
Yeah, Basso.
Basso was the keeper's name. Do you want to have a guess now, having a guess who we remember? Do you remember the game, Gullu?
Yeah. Dele Adebola.
Yeah. So, come on, Kim. Quick guess.
Forest or Coventry?
There's another 90 teams in the pyramid for you to keep naming here.
No. Go on. I don't...
Tell her the answer, Gully.
It was Bristol City, I think, wasn't it?
Bristol City, yeah.
Adebola. We were 2-0 up, and Adebola came on and bullied Neil Collins, I think.
If you remember correctly, the first goal Neil Collins scored, and Michael Kightley puts a ball into the box, and the wind just... takes it over Andriano Basso, and it's one of the most oddest goals in football. The wind was proper Fowler's Park.
Yeah.
How do you guys remember so much? I do watch Wolf every week.
I wasn't in my drinking era back then. I went down to a friend's uni flat at Bristol. It was that was a bit of a carnage day as well. I was relatively sober at 2-0.
It's not right how well I retain this kind of information. I wish I'd actually got important stuff kept in my brain. But, it's I'd have to push out all the Wolves shit.
Yeah. I've said this numerous times. If I could have used my brain capacity for what I've used for storing Wolves memory into something good, I'd be a millionaire.
100%.
And on that note, thanks everyone who's listened today, tuned in. Continues to support the fan cast, a part of the 90 Million Network, supporting the Sport Job Kings Winford, Wolverhampton Eats, and our main sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. We'll be back after the Norwich game, hopefully with another win. Take care, guys.